Walter's Act II aria from Donizetti's opera. It was sung by the tenor Michael Fabiano. Welcome to this Gramophone podcast with me, James Jolly. Michael was in London recently for performances at the Royal Opera House Covent Garden of Gounod's Faust, but it was the music of Donizetti and Verdi, the two composers featured on his brand new album from Pentatone, that was the subject of our conversation. It's quite often that you find those two composers on a mixed recital with other composers, but actually it's not very often that you find them just the two of them on the same album. I mean, what was the thinking behind?
Mine was that I really have a great affinity for the works of these composers in particular between the mid-1830s to the mid-1860s. It's about a 30-year window. In our case of the album, it's 27 years, actually. It's 35 to 62. And there's also Mercadante in there. And there's also Rossini in there, but there's not much in Mercadante. There's a few that I could have chosen. There's nothing about Rossini that I would have really worked for me. So there's something about that epoch of time where there was a stylistic fuoco, fire in the writing of both of these composers. I call these the operas, the arias that I chose from the Donizetti works. Donizetti's very advanced, darker works that kind of lead us to believe and lead us to understand what Verdi did in his first 30 years, first 20 years, let's say, which, you know, why we know what Ernani became. Pagliuca and Ernani were roughly around the same moment. And if you listen to Pagliuca, for instance, if you listen to the whole scope of the opera, you could be transfixed on the fact that he starts to use different harmonic patterns and different strophic patterns and different instruments that he hadn't used before, which bled into Verdi, which bled into all the way through Balin Maschera, early Forza, which is where I really see the last shift for Verdi go. The first Forza into the last was the last real work of the middle and early Verdi for me. And so that's why I chose to do it, because it's something that I just get, I relate to, I love to sing it.
And in terms of the writing for the tenor specifically, can you see a kind of relationship? I mean, Verdi obviously, you know, was influenced by Donizetti. I mean, is the kind of the way he writes for the voice or the line or the shape?
Yes, I would call the Verdian style of these arias that I chose big bel canto. Beautiful, beautiful line with potency at some point. And you hear that in Pagliuca, which he has. You hear it in Maria di Rohan. I don't demonstrate the cabaletta that he didn't actually end up using. Maria di Rohan, Donizetti didn't use it. There was one written. But I chose a lot of these Verdian arias to demonstrate that I appreciate bel canto, and I chose the Donizetti arias on this album to demonstrate that they led to Verdi. So there's this kind of cross-pollination between the two of them.
It is quite astounding if you look at the Donizetti works list, the man's productivity, because there was one, I mean, when he signed for Naples, the San Carlo, he was commissioned to write 12 operas in 3 years, which is an astounding.
That's probably why
you know, once every quarter.
Yeah, of course, it's nuts. But I mean, in Donizetti's case, you hear a lot of the same music in each of his works. They kind of rehappen, but he advances. He does better as he gets into the 1830s. Suddenly, the music has a different level of impact. It has a different sonority than the earlier works did. The earlier works before 1830 still had a classical spice to them. Now we're starting to feel something else when we start to touch even Favorita, for instance, or when we touch Don Sebastiano, which was at the end, or Lucrezia Borgia, even, which is in that era. Even Belisario, which happened right after Lucia di Lammermoor. You hear this kind of difference. There's something else that he didn't offer earlier on, which is more Rossiniano, more Belliniano. It was a little different. And then suddenly we heard this thunderbolt in his music that you don't hear in the other two bel canto composers, in my view.
Is Donizetti's music something you want to, you would like to explore more complete, as it were, on stage? I mean, there aren't that many opportunities for some of the more obscure works. I mean, obviously, you know, Pagliuca was, you know, I think, was it the first... It was the first professional production in this country you took part.
It was spectacular to be able to do it. I was grateful that Glyndebourne took it on. I would love to be able to do Maria di Rohan, for instance, Favorita. I know lots of people have the mentality that it should be done in French. I actually prefer it in Italian. That's just me. Don Sebastiano is a little outside of my reach just because of his tessitura, but I think the work itself is fabulous. There's a lot of those work. I've done Lucrezia Borgia a few times. I love it. Belisario is very interesting as well. There's a lot of those works that happened later that I think are interesting and I'd love to take on.
When someone like Richard Bonning, you know, unearthed so many of these interesting, he had a sort of company around him of artists who, you know, kind of grew up learning this stuff and actually developing a bel canto style.
Well, the crazy thing is that when I started studying in university, the first operas I started studying were Anna Bolena, Roberto Devereux, and Maria Stuarda, and I didn't even look at the Bellini operas. I can't tell you why. There was a little bit of a divinity in it. I just was drawn to them. I had to listen. Sometimes it was of a Bonning recording. Sometimes it was others. It was other things with Gavazzini conducting Anna Bolena with Maria Callas. I had to listen, and then I opened the scores, and I just know them, and I have a deep appreciation for the musical line. And so I wish, in a weird way, that I had been supplanted 30 years or 40 years ago when there was that kind of era of Marilyn Horn and Joan Sutherland and Beverly Sills and a lot of these other women, and Aragal, for instance, and Carreras, who were a big part of this bel canto boom, I would call it. We did more of them. Even earlier with Callas, when she did Anna Bolena, and when she did Pagliuca with Corelli and things like that. That was an interesting era. So, but it was also interesting because you heard Battaglia di Legnano, for instance. You heard a lot of the other rare Verdi at the same time. Gavazzini was doing a lot of it. Lombardi was happening in Rome in the 60s and the 70s. You were just hearing those operas a little more. They were given a little more priority than we think of them now. And that was just a different era.
And I mean, let's talk a little bit about the Forza, because, you know, you're performing this aria from the St. Petersburg first production. Of course, I mean, staged, it has rather a large effect on the tenor in that...
Huge.
In that... In one version, you actually walk out of the theatre alive at the end, and the other, you patently don't.
Yeah, in the original, you jump off of a cliff and die. Alvaro, that's how he dies. And it's interesting, in the original Forza, the symphony is different in the beginning. There's Leonora has different music. Alvaro has lots of different music. The finale is different. It's just littered with different music. And it's littered with different orchestral texture, too. There have been theatres that have used that version. I think there's a credible reason to try it, because it was Verdi's first, his first go at the opera, and I mean, there's a dramatic reason why he lived. I think there's cases to be made for both works. What I think is odd is that there's this incredible jewel of an aria for Alvaro that no one ever sings. It just doesn't really exist. It's a great aria. The few times there's been a stage performance, a tenor has done it. In the context of the opera, it is hard.
Because it is a spectacular sort of close to Act 3, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a spectacular aria. And it's heroic. And in its original writing, it was the only time Verdi wrote a final high C for the tenor with a fermata over the top. Only time he did it. Yes, does he write it in the context of a phrase? Sometimes does a tenor touch them in other operas? He does. But it's never the final note. Like in Trovatore, Traviata, all the different cabalette in Attila, when there's a cabaletta that is in do. He never writes a final do. Tenors tend to interpolate them almost. If you sing Trovatore, you have kind of a mandate to do it, or you shouldn't sing Trovatore. But this case, he did it. Now, he then, after it was premiered in St. Petersburg, he went to Madrid, and they transposed it into what became the actual key of Si bemolle in the second half of the aria, which is what I did it in. And which is what a few of the tenors have done it in and that have recorded it properly. It works better. It's theatrically, it's better. It's they actually wrote a cut because there was a lot more music when it was in do than when it was in C bemol and when it was in B flat. So it's a little tighter of an aria. It works. And so that's what we've done on the album. Actually, that aria in particular, I was really excited to record. I've always wanted to sing. Now I do it in concerts. I'm starting to put it on the concert stage. Will I sing Alvaro? No, I'm not going to sing that role for a long time. But do I think that that's an aria that should be showcased? Absolutely. And I think other great tenors should showcase it too. It's a great work. Great. I mean, It's littered with high notes. It's thrilling. You hear at some moments you hear what became of the Verdi Requiem in the middle of it, in the Miserere in the beginning, in the middle of it. There's a gigantic high B in right after that. That is, it feels like the Auto da Fe in Don Carlo. It's the same approach. There's just so many different things that you see him doing that led up to the great, great final works in that one gem of an aria. It's spectacular. Miserere.
Pietà, Signore, per quale c'eri il tuo perdone, a tale età e male.
And have you gone for other on this recording? Have you gone for other sort of first versions or unusual?
Ernani, the Ernani Ode il Voto, I did. Lots of tenors tend to sing the first act aria. And there's an aria from Ernani that was not Verdi's intent, but it was something that he wrote for a different tenor that had a different, more heroic voice that wanted to give it a try. And I think that as an artist that's younger, I think I have a bit of a responsibility to share a lot of these gems that might not have been shared as often and try to do them justice and see if I do. And so I did it. Ernani definitely was the most challenging of the whole album. It's a hard aria. Again, littered with high notes, big high B in the Cabaletta, lots of tricky music. Lies in the Passaggio quite a bit, the most of all those arias in that album. Due Foscari, for instance. But I've sung Due Foscari in concert, so it was great to be able to record this aria. It's very enigmatic of a scared man, and you hear it because in the beginning, you just hear two instruments playing in duo for a full minute. And Verdi rarely did something like that. You hear it in Giovanna d'Arco, you hear it in Due Foscari, you hear it in a few things, but very, very seldom.
It must be good also performing or recording an aria that you've actually done in concert on stage so that you know the context.
Like most, I would say, when looking at it and realizing the album, more than 50% of it I've done on stage or in concert. There are just a few that I have. Obviously, the Forza and the Ernani I have not done, and the Maria di Rohan I've never done. The rest I've done. Corsaro I've done a number of times, believe it or not. Luis Miller I've done. Balin Mascara I've done. There's been a number of things on here that I've... Lucia, which is on the album. Oberto I've not done. But Oberto is just a beautiful, sad aria, and I've always appreciated it, so I wanted to give it a go.
And how did you like the experience of recording? Because this is a bit of a first for you, isn't it?
It was my first solo album. I got the privilege of recording with the LPO. They're a sensational orchestra. They're sensational. They have incredible unified sound. The players are so dynamic and experienced and listen. And they're highly professional. And that's not to say that others are not, but you just know they really care about what
they're
doing. And
also people forget that the LPO is a kind of half the year is an opera orchestra down at Leinburg. Were they your orchestra for Pagliuca?
They were for Pagliuca and for Traviata, both when I did the year before. So they know opera. And there are a lot of them that played for a lot of opera singers. I had a number of conversations with a number of instrumentalists. I wanted to sing with the LPO. We made it an ambitious album.
The close of Alvaro's Act 3 aria, Quel Sangue Sparsi, from the 1862 St. Petersburg version of Verdi's La Forza del Destino. My guest, Michael Fabiano, was joined by the London Philharmonic Orchestra and Enrique Mazzola on that new recital album from Pentatone, just out. And you can hear a couple of arias from the recording in this week's playlist to the listening room on Spotify and Apple Music. Well, if you've enjoyed this podcast, you can find many more by searching for Gramophone Magazine wherever you find your podcasts. And a reminder that all listeners to our podcasts can get a discount off any subscription package to Gramophone by visiting gramophone.co.uk/subscribe and typing in podcast20 at the checkout. Thanks for listening, and look out for another podcast very soon.